Yo, what's up? Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Alden Gonzalez, who covers the Dodgers, will join us. Our buddy Amin Al-Hassan will stop by later as well. Alden at 10:40, excuse me, Alden at 11:15. Cover all your bases, man, with Straight Talk Wireless. Major League Baseball may need to cover all their bases. We'll get to that in a second. Get the same networks as the big carriers and only pay up to 50% less. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data and 2G for $45 a month, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. Oh, boy. So, basically, Major League Baseball, and it's funny, man, and I don't mean this funny in a ha-ha way. I mean funny in an ironic way. We sat here. We've asked every single MLB insider we've had on this show. And I asked them a very specific question, Greg Bergman, which was, now that we know the season is only going to be 60 games, this was before the actual games started, why not revisit a bubble concept? I understand the players were adamantly against it, you know, over a 4 or 5 month period, but since we're going to do just 60 games in 66 nights in theory, why not just find the place to do a bubble? Well, the hot spots, Texas, Florida, Arizona, those are the places they would do it. Well, the NBA seems to be doing just fine in Florida, okay, because they have gotten the sign-off from Dr. Fauci and gotten the sign-off from the CDC, and their 113-page manual, as opposed to the MLB's 113-page manual, I don't know, seems to be working better. I don't know. I think it has a lot to do with the bubble. But remember, Greg, how many times I asked the different insiders, whether it was Passan, Kirkjian, this guy, that guy, that came on this show and said, why don't they just revisit this? This just seems silly to keep traveling from city to city to city. Like, the notion that you're just going to keep it regionalized and it's going to help, that doesn't make any sense. Like, that's not rooted in science. And here we are with the Marlins now having 13 staff members, players, and coaches testing positive. They got to cancel their game against the Orioles, their home opener. The Yankees don't want to play in the Philadelphia clubhouse or be in the Philadelphia clubhouse because the Marlins were just there. So that game has been postponed as well. I mean, how easy could this have been had they just decided, hey, you know what? Since we are doing 66 games, I know we've been arguing about money. Let's just find a bubble to do this in.
I just don't understand why that never happened. I mean, we've been talking since the beginning of this. Bubbles work. We saw it's working for MLS right now, where they have zero tests coming back positive.
Well, and NHL, by the way, they had a rash early on. Remember, teams had to cancel and whatnot?
Right.
Because we argued that their problem was they got there only a week before, unlike the NBA, which arrived 3 weeks before their games were going to start, which allowed you some wiggle room. But even the MLS and Greg Garber have figured that out, to your point. That's a great point.
Yeah, and now NHL, there's a story out that NHL is going to be in two bubble cities, in Toronto and Edmonton, over 4,000 tests last week. Zero. Not one single COVID test result came back positive because they're going into a bubble. And it just, everything, every system that's doing this seems to be working, and the ones that are not, which is just MLB, is not going to work. This is what we've been talking about since the beginning, George.
Yeah, it makes no sense that you should have just done it this way. If the health experts thought this was the way to go, just do it, man. And by the way, look, the NFL is going to be in their interesting crosshairs too. Now, granted, in the NFL, you only have 8 road games, right? It's not, you know, but still, that's 8 times. In Major League Baseball, you have to travel a lot more, but it's already happening at the beginning of the season. You know what I'm saying? On one road trip, it's already happening. So in football, with 53 men on an active roster, and then you have the practice squad guys or whatever, like, I don't understand. The NFL seems to be acting like this is going to be okay, and they're going to be able to do this as planned. At least college football is saying, well, you know what? It seems more likely we're just going to postpone till the spring. Right. And just kind of punt it down the road and see what we can do then. Right. Maybe there's a vaccine by then. You know what I mean? Like, there's that to me is smarter than anything Major League Baseball and potentially even the NFL's done. The NFL had to be strong armed by their players. We talked about it last week. J.J. Watt led the charge about getting daily testing for 2 weeks at training camp. And then if everything went OK, they would go to every other day. But they had to be strong armed by their players. I just don't understand. But Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred, your boy, Greg, you've nailed this from the get-go. No, he clearly, he just doesn't get it. Like, he doesn't get it. And the Players Association doesn't get it either. They don't skate on this thing either.
Yeah, and I think it's funny, too, because yesterday, four Marlins were tested positive.
Positive,
and I believe,
yeah.
I believe it all happened before the game actually
Correct.
Started.
Yeah, what, their starter was scratched.
Right, because of it. At that point, how do you still play the game when four different people within an organization have COVID and then still play the game and then find out afterwards that another 10 got it as well? I mean, now you're putting
everybody
else at risk.
Yeah, it's 9. It's not 14. It's 13 total.
Was it 13? Okay, sorry. Yeah. I thought it was 14. Well, 13, then fine. Another 9. Doesn't matter.
Still a lot.
In fact, yes. Still 13 people within an organization that are all at the field and all doing things. It's asinine for them to be playing a game at that level. And then it just doesn't make any sense to even be playing. I don't get it. Rob Manfred cares about nothing but money.
Yeah, here's the thing. The funniest part of this, the Philadelphia Inquirer reported that this morning. I saw it. I couldn't believe it. It's hilarious. The reason the Marlins decided to play, because that is a valid question. Okay, if you had four positive tests, I mean, maybe you shouldn't have played the game. And Don Mattingly said that the players decided on it, and Miguel Rojas, who is their shortstop, is their team captain, and he texted everyone and took like a straw poll if they wanted to play, and they decided that they wanted to play. That can't be the protocol.
Are you kidding? That's not a real story.
I swear to God.
That's a lie.
I swear to God. Philadelphia Inquirer. Go look it up right now on their Twitter. It's on their Twitter page.
You're telling me that you're going by what the players want in this situation when it comes to health and safety? That's...
Yeah. Listen, this is the blind leading the blind, man. And again, I understand that, you know, it may not be life and death for these particular players. But again, it's not just about these particular players. It's about who they come home to. It's about who they interact with. It's about how vulnerable are those particular people. It's just about common courtesy and common decency, man. You know what I mean? Like, it shouldn't be that hard. And by the way, when those positive tests came out, you saw Bryce Harper yesterday. I don't know if you saw the highlights. He wore a mask the whole game. And their first baseman, the Phillies' first baseman, wore a mask the whole game. And because of all those positive tests. And it's because guys want to be able to play the games. They want to be able to stay healthy. And now the Marlins players and the entire team has had to stay overnight in Philadelphia. And the guys who test positive are going to have to be there for 2 weeks. And Major League Baseball has this taxi squad of like 5 or 6 guys or whatever. They're going to have to call up the entire minor league system for that team.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And what you're seeing, this is all what you're talking about with baseball too, is like you're seeing guys that it's the Dodgers are doing it, every team is doing it, where they're high-fiving and they're hugging and they're not social distancing on the field. Nope. It's one thing if you're high-fiving in a bubble. But if you're actually going home and living your life and just doing traveling and doing everything normally except for going to the ballpark, you can't be high-fiving. You can't be spitting sunflower seeds. You can't be doing all the things that you would normally do on a regular baseball game. And they're just going about business like it's absolute, like everything's just fine.
Look,
and look what's happening.
Yeah. And look, for the most part, the NBA has been good and the players have been good. Except, well, our boy Lou Will. So Lou Will, man, it was so funny because I'm on the jump on Friday, right? And I'm going through my timeline and all of a sudden these pictures pop up of Lou Will in a mask in what looks like a nightclub of some sorts. And he's with some guy. What's the guy's name? The guy
he
was
rapper?
With?
I forgot. Let me look it up.
Yeah, so anyway, he's with this guy, and then the guy posts on Instagram.
Jack Harlow.
Jack Harlow. Jack Harlow posts on Instagram. Oh, no, that's an old picture. I deleted it because I didn't want people to freak out. It's an old picture. I just missed Lou Will. Dude, he's wearing a mask with an NBA logo on it. Like, how long ago could that have been? So it was like, I saw this before the jump, and I'm telling the producers, and I'm like, do you want to do this story? Because it seems weird. And it's like, they're like, well, we don't have enough details on it yet. And of course, all of it unfolds. And yes, he was at Magic City. And he had initially been excused for leaving for it because he had like a friend of the family pass away. And he posted a picture of the friend of the family. And he was at the funeral. But then after the funeral, he made a stop at Magic City in Atlanta, which, if you don't know, is a high-end, high-end gentleman's club that has a restaurant attached to it and whatnot. And Lou actually is on the menu, like literally on the menu. The lemon pepper wings are called the Lou Will lemon pepper wings, okay? And I look, man, I get it. You're young. You want to do your thing. But come on, man. You're not like a first or second year player. Like, you've been doing this for a long time, Lou Will. You've been in the league over a decade. Like, you got to know better than that, man. And now Lou Will has put his team in a little bit of a compromising situation because he doesn't have the 4-day quarantine that Zion is getting for his family emergency. He's got a 10-day quarantine for a family emergency or for this particular incident. And I don't blame the NBA either. I don't blame Adam Silver for saying, you know what? You lied to us, number one. And number two, you know, you put yourself in a situation where there were clearly a lot of people in there in an enclosed place. And Lou, I apparently tried to tell them there were no entertainers there. And of course, the pictures are out and there's plenty of naked women in the background. And it's just like, come on, man. So, you know, look, I know the wings may be fire. Laura, we had that audio cut from Kendrick Perkins this morning on Get Up. I am not one of these people that is a prude. I'm all about, you want to go to the gentleman's club? If you want to go to the strip club, I'm good with it. Like, go ahead and do it. I'm not that person. And you know what? At some of those places, the food is good. And as Kendrick Perkins tells us, those wings are fire.
Listen, I'm a big guy. I love to eat. I done been to Magic City. The wings are fire. But in this case, in all seriousness, come on, Lou Will, you got to do better, man. During this pandemic, you have to do better. You know, going back into the bubble and just looking inside the bubble, they had zero cases, tested 300, and had zero cases. The NBA, the Players Association, has done a great job by putting together this billion-dollar bubble and keeping everyone safe. Lou, you got to do a better job. And it's crazy, Greeny, because here it is. Lou Will is a 16-year vet. He knows better. He should know how to be more mature. You got a guy that's a rookie in Zion Williamson who left for a family issue, and he handled it way better than Lou. We didn't hear a word. He went down, took care of his business with his family. Now he's back to the bubble. And on another note, it just adds another distraction for the Clippers, for as them trying to win a title. Now they got to answer questions and do media about something that they shouldn't even have to be worried about. They should only be worried about, you know, playing basketball, you know, promoting, you know, making sure they bring awareness to social justice. But now they got to talk about Magic City and Lou Will and chicken wings. It's just not fair, and it was very irresponsible on Lou Will's part.
Completely irresponsible, completely reckless. And you know what, Greg? We talked about it. We said it. If a player left the bubble to go hang out, what did we say? Remember the Jared Dudley comments? And what was the reaction? People were going to be upset. Teammates are going to be upset. Coaches are going to be upset. Fans are going to be upset. And that's what you have here with Lou Will.
Yeah, they're going to go. Lou Will is going to go back into this bubble, and he's going to have to be talked to by Kawhi or whoever it is that actually speaks on that Clippers team. But somebody's saying, like, look, what are you doing? You're messing with our team here. Now, we've talked about it all last week and even longer before that about how this team doesn't have the best chemistry. And now you're taking a guy who is a big, big part of this, sixth man of the year multiple times, that can't go and be involved in that team chemistry at the beginning of the season. It's not a good look, man. It was bad. It wasn't smart.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I get the wings could be fire.
I love lemon pepper wings.
You know what I'm saying? And look, I'm all about the club. Whichever kind you'd like to go to, it doesn't matter. Like, feel free, you know. And the food is better at those places than you think, right?
But especially at that place,
you know. Laura, you wanted to weigh in?
No, it's true. I mean, I've gone to a gentleman's club before. I got taken for my birthday, and the food was fire. I was like, damn, there's better food here, and I get a show. I mean, I'm with it, but not right now. You know what I mean? Not right now, guys. Not right now.
Not right now. Chill out. See, you learned your lesson, though. Not right now, after you went out to a restaurant the other day and you had some Clipper fans sitting next to you. See, and you didn't like the Clipper fans talking Clipper smack. Now you kind of wish you would be in that situation so you could be like, yeah, where's your boy Lou Will?
I know. I said that to my friend. I was like, man, he couldn't have done that like Thursday or Wednesday when we could have just talked, smashed this guy. because he really thinks they're going to win a championship. I was like, no, man. Like I said, Lakers in four.
All right, coming up next, Greg Bergman. People are calling out Greg Bergman. We'll get to that. Plus, a Dodger is calling out Rob Manfred. That's all coming up next here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. It is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Michael Thompson weighs in via text when discussing, we were discussing the Lou Will Magic City situation. Says, perverts, go to Wingstop, go to KFC. Wingstop is fire. I will give you that. KFC's wings? Like, I like fried chicken. Don't get me, listen, we have discussed this. I love me some fried chicken. And I grew up on KFC. But I don't feel like their wings are that good, right? Like, I don't feel like their wings are, that's not what you go there for.
I've never gone to KFC for the wings, so I'm not sure. But Wingstop, very good.
Fire. Yeah. Yeah. Laura, KFC wings? No? I mean, I'm there for like some drums and some thighs and chicken breast and all that. And, you know, but not like wings.
No, I'm very disappointed in Michael right now. Like KFC for wings. I would have said Hooters, maybe a second option.
Mm-hmm.
Hooters, but not KFC. Yeah. We need to teach them a little thing.
Buffalo Wild Wings. There's places that specialize in wings. But I get your point. Just be happy, Michael. It wasn't one of the Lakers, okay? Just be happy it wasn't one of the Lakers. But sure. Doc apparently was not happy. the way Brad Turner described it over the weekend when all that stuff was going down, he said that Doc did not look thrilled to have that discussion. And to Kendrick's point, he kind of, he put his teammates in a compromising position. You know, you have to be the one guy that gets nailed doing this, right? Like, it's not ideal. Bergman,
Who is the vocal leader on that team? Who's the guy that's going to call him out for all that? Because it's not Kawhi, as much as he's a great player.
Oh, I heard Kawhi behind the scenes is much more vocal than you think.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
All right. I mean, all anybody really knows him for is just talking real softly with nothing to say.
Nah, I heard that behind the scenes, he's way more vocal than you know.
All right.
And way more deliberate than you know.
It is behind the scenes, so I don't know. You're correct.
Right. Well, I'm telling you, as someone who knows what's going on behind the scenes.
I appreciate it.
Okay. By the way, coming up in just a little bit, I'm going to have some Lakers inside the numbers for you. Inside the Lakers for you. Little numbers for you. We're going to have a little fun with them. And I've got some inside the Clippers numbers, too, for you for later in the show. Because I think that now's the time, as we're just 3 days away from basketball coming back and the Lakers and Clippers getting going. I think that, it's time to kind of go deep. You ready to go deep, Bergman?
Oh, yeah. I love going deep with Lakers numbers. It's fun.
Okay. Now, before that, you were called out this weekend. Because Kyle Kuzma had 25 points in the last scrimmage, 10 of 13 from the field, and 5 of 7 from 3. Who called you out, Greg Bergman?
Oh, it was just our old friend O'Shea Jackson Jr. calling me out, like normal. He said, yo, at Sedano, have you checked on at Bergman Greg after Kuzmania ran wild on the Magic today?
I mean, he did run wild. He is right.
He did. He played great, and that makes me happy. Let's just hope that he does it multiple times and consistently, because consistency has been the issue with him. He'll have games like this. He'll go off where he has a great game, and then all of a sudden the next game he's got 3 points and two boards on, one of 15 shooting.
Yeah, I mean, there is some of that, but I would say that, he has been, again, he's been put in a tough situation because he doesn't have the usual he's a young guy who has been put in a situation with LeBron and AD, and he generally will have the ball. I mean, he has the ball in his hands, and he feels more comfortable when he has the ball in his hands when he's got AD, when he doesn't have LeBron on the floor particularly.
Yeah, look, I totally agree with that. But here, the thing is that the consistency is just so off for me that when I watch him, there's certain players, and I'm sure you have guys like this that you find just very frustrating to watch, where you roll your eyes whenever the ball's in their hands. For that guy, for me, is Kyle Kuzma. Every time I see him in his hand, I don't feel like he has a plan going to the basket. I don't feel like he's engaged most of the time defensively. I think when he is guarding somebody, whether it be like Luka Doncic running past him, he's blaming the guy behind him. I mean, I get that you're supposed to have some help defense, but he can't stay in front of guys. He doesn't have a plan. It frustrates me. So when he has the ball and he puts in the air, I roll my eyes and just hope it goes in.
Okay, so here are some Kuzma numbers. Are you ready?
Ready.
I'm going to give you some Kuzma numbers before we go to the phones. He has pretty even minutes here overall because I was looking up his – I asked our researchers to do a little on-off numbers on Kyle Kuzma. Oh, because tonight, by the way, if you happen to be home between 5 and 7, I'm going to be hosting a kind of red zone show on ESPN2 from 5 to 7 p.m. On ESPN2. It's me, Jalen Rose, Paul Pierce, and Jay Williams, and we're hosting a Red Zone-style show. So we're going to be talking about all the games that have happened today because the Lakers are scrimmaging today. We'll talk about all those individual teams. We're going to do some live look-ins at the games that are as they're going on live, and we're going to be coming in and out. So if you're home between 5 and 7 today, that'd be great if you tune in on ESPN2 tonight. We'll be there having fun. And here's some of the stuff you'll hear because this is some of the research I was able to do. Kyle Kuzma's on and off numbers with LeBron and AD. Pretty even minutes here overall and not surprising, but Kuzma's usage rate goes way up when Davis and LeBron are off the floor. However, his three-point field goal percentage drops from 35% when both are on to 25% when both are off. Well, that makes sense because you just have more weapons on the floor, right? Here's what Kuzma's numbers look like. He's played 233 minutes with both guys on the floor. His usage rate is 17.5%. His field goal attempts per 36 minutes is 12.4. His three-point percentage is 35%. When they're off, when it's just him, he's the main ball handler, it feels like, almost. Almost a 29% usage rate, 21.3 shots per game per 36 minutes, but only 25% three-pointers. So what changes? Basically, according to Second Spectrum, when Kuzma is on the floor with Davis and LeBron, 51% of his shots are catch-and-shoot threes, okay? So more than half his shots, 41 of 80 field goals, are catch-and-shoot threes. When you take Davis and LeBron off the floor, that drops to just 19%. And the interesting part of this is it depends on their presence, right, like what his role is. When he's on the floor with those guys, he's really good from kind of the above the break on the right side and obviously near the paint because he gets easy baskets. But when they're off the floor, it's all about the paint. So I don't know about your point about not having a plan, but the majority of his shots, Greg, will dictate when those guys aren't on the floor that he actually does get to the paint. His problem is when he settles for crap that's not in the paint.
Right. I mean, those numbers are interesting, but it's funny too, because I know that Anthony Davis was playing at the beginning of the game when Kuzma was on the floor, but whenever Anthony Davis doesn't play, that's when Kuzma starts to play better. It seems like his numbers rise when Anthony Davis, because he becomes more of that secondary scorer, and you have LeBron James on the floor with you looking to find you wide open. And it makes sense that he's getting 51% just catch and shoot threes, because you're getting double teams on LeBron or AD, and he just has to stand
there. No, he's getting wide open looks. He's getting better looks. But you were saying earlier that he doesn't have a plan when those guys aren't out there. I mean, it seems fairly obvious that he's really good at getting to the paint when those guys aren't there. He just needs to do more of that.
Right. And that's kind of what we talked about before. But there's a lot of times that I watch him and he does the Rondo thing where you drive in, stop because you can't figure out where you want to go, and you step back and then you start and you pass it off and then you stand over in a corner. Those are the times that it frustrates me. When they're off the floor, sure, I just feel like he can get to the paint because he's being single covered, I guess, is the way to look at it. I don't know. It just, when I see him, he's a frustrating player to me. If he can be consistent, that would be great. I would love to see him all of a sudden turning around and be more consistent and getting to the basket, getting rebounds. That's what we talked about before this pandemic hit. Get to the basket, get the boards, get the putbacks, do the little things that make teams win.
Let me go to Gelato Drew in downtown LA. Gelato Drew, what's going on?
Hola, Jorge.
Hey.
So Greg is just showing, like I said, he's the king of L's at ESPN LA, and O'Shea's right. So Bergman's like Mush from the Bronx Tale. So we need him to root against our L.A. teams and be critical of the guys, because as soon as he says something bad about Kuz did good this last game. So he needs to root against our L.A. team, except UCLA. He keeps those losers. And
all right.
Someone at Graphics needs to Photoshop Bergman's face over Mush from Bronx Tale.
All right, Gelato Drew.
Put that on socials.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Now, Bergman, will you do that? Will you take one for the team and root against your teams?
Absolutely not.
Because you clearly seem to be the mush?
No, absolutely not. I will root against Kyle Kuzma. If that makes Kuzma play better, great. There's certain guys that, yeah, if like, look, there's guys like Austin Barnes with the Dodgers. Like, when I'm talking him up, he goes down. When I say bad things about him, all of a sudden he starts getting better. So I'll do that for certain players, but never, ever for my teams.
Here's some other interesting numbers, because with Bradley and Rondo out, right, like the big discussion a week or two ago was about Caruso and KCP. Do you want to know what those lineups look like?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's some cool stuff, right, that I found out, some inside geeky, nerdy, inside the numbers stuff on the Lakers. When Davis, LeBron, KCP, and Caruso are on the floor together, they've played 109 minutes this year, and they've recorded a plus 16.5 net rating and an 88.5 defensive efficiency. To put that in context, that's the sixth best defensive efficiency among 825 four-man lineups to play at least 100 minutes together this season in the NBA. That's pretty damn impressive when those four are on the floor together.
Wow, that is really impressive. That just shows that this Lakers team has figured out the defensive side of the ball, which bodes well.
And to kind of go put it into further context, a lot of teams obviously run pick and roll, right, as kind of their main bread and butter on offense. So according to Second Spectrum, when that four-man group of Davis, LeBron, KCP, and Caruso are on the court together, the Lakers allow 0.78 points per direct pick and roll opportunity. For context, that ranks the Lakers ranked second in pick and roll defense overall in the league, okay, when they're regardless of who's on the floor. Allowing 0.91 points per direct pick this season. So that means when that group is on the floor, they're the best pick and roll busters in the entire NBA. So if I'm Frank Vogel, I'm looking at that. So now the question is, well, George, there's only four guys there. You got to add a fifth guy. Okay, well, let's do this. When you extrapolate it out, what fifth guy do you think would be best in that situation, Greg, defensively?
Probably Dwight in that situation.
Actually, you would be wrong. The best player in that situation, if I were to add a fifth guy to the group of KCP, Caruso, LeBron, and AD, would be Danny Green. With Danny Green on the floor, those five have allowed an offensive efficiency of only 108.3, a defensive efficiency of 88.0 for a net rating of plus 20.3. With Dwight, they're still really good. Their offensive efficiency is actually better because it allows kind of the safety valve of having that kind of pick and roll player, the roll man that can go to the rim for lobs and things like that and have that vertical spacer. But their defense, for whatever reason, goes down with Dwight because Dwight tends to gamble potentially, I guess, for blocks and things of that nature. So their defensive efficiency goes up, even though their offense also goes up. And their net efficiency is still amazing at plus 16, but not as good as with Danny Green. So those are just some interesting numbers. I have more stuff that we can dive into here throughout the show. So we'll do some of that. But I didn't get out to the Dodgers part of this. So I mentioned that O'Shea called you out, Greg. Well, a Dodger is calling out the commissioner of Major League Baseball. Find out who next in 2 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Amino Hassan will join us in less than 10 minutes. We'll talk NBA bubble with him and just kind of the Lakers and the Clippers and what else to expect. I did see something interesting before I get to this Dodgers story is that I was watching the Blazers yesterday on their scrimmage, and they were playing Toronto. And what I noticed, Greg, was they were playing Hassan Whiteside and Yusuf Nurkic together, or they were trying to. They were experimenting with that. There's been a lot of experimentation, obviously, during these scrimmages from a lot of different teams. And, yeah, Twin Towers, you know that what that's all about, right?
Playing them together? No.
It's about the Lakers. Because they play a center and Anthony Davis. That's all that's about.
So they have somebody to play, again, if they make it to that eighth seed.
Yeah. Yeah, to match up against them.
So what would that team look like then? Because then you're having CJ and Dame, and then Whiteside and Nurkic. Who's the fifth?
They had a bunch of different guys rolling through the fifth spot. But yeah, that was the way they were playing yesterday when I saw them.
Bold I don't remember strategy, who started. Let's see if it works.
I don't remember who started, but it was they had another wing player like a Gary Trent Jr., a defensive minded player.
Right. I mean, you've seen what Hassan Whiteside can do on a regular basis.
I'm not a huge fan, nope. But he is athletic. I don't think there's any question about that.
No, block some shots, but. Yeah, I don't know. If I remember correctly, I don't remember the games perfectly, but I'm pretty sure AD was having his way with him.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But Nurkic is a way better player than Hassan Whiteside. So he's actually way more troublesome.
Nurkic look? Because he was out.
I thought he looked great.
Long
and
time.
He was shooting a ton of threes, which I thought was interesting.
Uh-oh. All right, well, we'll see what they can do.
I mean, he wasn't making them with a lot of regularity, but he was taking them.
I don't know. Chuck thinks that they're going to beat the Lakers if they make the eighth seed. So
yeah, that's crazy. I love Barkley, but come on, right. Get out of here. All right. So we talked about O'Shea Jackson Jr. calling you out on Twitter over the weekend over Kyle Kuzma and your Kuzma take after Kuzma, or as he calls it, Kuzmania, ran wild over the weekend against the Orlando Magic. The David Price has called out the commissioner of Major League Baseball. David Price just tweeted a little while ago, "Now we really get to see if Major League Baseball is going to put players' health first. Remember when Manfred said players' health was paramount? Part of the reason I'm at home right now is because players' health wasn't being put first. I can see that hasn't changed." This is going to be you thought the negotiation for Rob Manfred was going to be tough? Like the financial negotiation? This is going to be way more challenging for him.
Right. Well, the negotiation was a sham all in itself. He was changing the amount of games. He was saying, "Oh, okay, we'll play 72, but at half, half the salary or whatever it is." And then he ended up saying right afterwards, "No, I was never going to go over 60." So the whole negotiation wasn't even really a negotiation. So he's been lying from the beginning.
Right.
Why would all of a sudden now he decide to think that, "Hey, all right, I didn't care about the player's health before. I don't really care about it now either. I just want the games to be played." So he's not going to change. David Price is right. I'm sorry. Most of the time I would be against something like this and be like, "Look, at least we're getting the games. We're watching baseball again." But David Price is right here. Manfred does not care about the player's health. There's only one thing he cares about.
Money, 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 money.
Yep.
Money, 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 money. So anyway... There's that. So we'll see what ends up happening. We'll keep you up to date on what the hell is happening with Major League Baseball because it seems like it's an unmitigated disaster already. But as far as the actual Dodgers this weekend, 2-2 against the Giants? What the hell, Bergman?
I know. It was a little bit surprising. They came out just firing on all cylinders those first two games, and they looked unstoppable. And then they ran into some base-running errors on Saturday to lose the game. I think they were thrown out 4 or 5 times on the base paths. I mean, that's not a recipe for a win. And they still almost won that game. And then last night, they just were swinging at bad pitches. It was just it wasn't a good game for them overall. And there was a couple times where, I mean, at Dodger Stadium, nighttime and daytime makes a huge difference, and the ball was just dying at the fence multiple times. I saw Cody Bellinger got robbed right at the wall one time. I think it would have been for a 3-run home run. Just bad all the way around against a really bad Giants team too. A little upsetting.
Yeah, it. I thought that they should do, I mean, against a Giants team that's, let's face it, if you really look at it, that's a lot.
Garbage.
That's not a very good team. John Hartung is the gentleman on Sportsnet LA.
Yes.
He does a fantastic job. I think he's a great studio host. He was saying after the first game, I think, that the Giants were only going to win 7 games all season out of 60. I was like, come on. I mean, they were I think he was joking. I maybe he was serious. He kept saying it. So I found myself kind of laughing like, come on, man. Like, there's not a Triple-A team would win more than 7 games over a 60-game season. Now, I know the Giants feel like a Triple-A team, but clearly they're not going to win 7 games anymore. But it was pretty hilarious. But not so hilarious after it went 2-2 over the weekend.
No, I mean, the Giants are really bad, like really, really bad, and they are a Triple-A team. They very well could have gone only win 7 games, but there's something about rivalries in baseball where it happens all the time. The Dodgers and the Giants win games against the Dodgers all the time, and you just don't understand why. It happens with the Angels a lot, where the Dodgers go down to Anaheim and get swept down there. It games that they should win, they lose. I don't know what it is about these rivalry games, just how it works, but they're going to look back on this at the end of the season. If something goes awry where they don't make it into the, one of those top couple seeds, which they should, and they're going to say, God, we should have taken those two games against San Francisco.
What did you say? Something goes what?
Awry. How do you spell? How do you sound?
Did you mean
A-W-R-Y? Is that how it is? That, is it awry?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I've always said awry.
I was like, Ari? Like, what are you talking about?
I've been saying Ari my entire life. People understand it.
It goes awry.
Awry. Okay, fine. Awry. That's the word I was looking for. I've been saying
Bergman.
I speak for a living, George. But yeah, either way, it's what I've always thought it was. I didn't realize that was wrong. Nobody in my 36 years.
Laura, were you confused too when he said it that way?
I was trying to figure out what he meant, but I'm like, he can't possibly be trying to say that. Here we are, Greg. Here we are.
I mean,
fine. I'll take the L on this one. But here's the thing. Like, nobody, 36 years, nobody has ever corrected me. Ever.
Well, that's on them. Who the hell have you been hanging around with? I've never.
I don't know.
I mean, for the love of God. Anyway, all right. Coming up next, Amin Alhassan will stop by, ESPN NBA front office insider. We'll talk to him about the Lou Will situation. Is Jack Harlow a Laker plant? We're back in 90 seconds. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. As things go awry here on the show, we're waiting for Amin because, you know, things go awry sometimes, Greg.
Yeah, they do. They go awry at times. And this one was one of those.
Oh, goodness.
literally, nobody in my life. I've said it for 36 years and nobody has ever said anything to me. Like,
wait, I'm going to save it because I want Amin to hear the full context of it. So, Laura, when you have the entire clip ready for me to play, ready to play for Amin, we'll do that. Amin Alhassan, ESPN NBA front office insider with us here. It's the Sedano Show, brought to you by Pennzoil Synthetic Motor Oils, made from natural gas, gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. And Nature Valley Crunchy Bars, when you're taking the trails or hanging out on your terrace, your deck, or your dock, Nature Valley Crunchy Granola Bars will help you make the most of your outdoor time because a crunchy bar tastes like summer wherever you are. So Amin is here giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Amin, how good do the Wings have to be to go to Magic City and leave the bubble and cause your team a 10-day quarantine?
George, is the only way I'll tell you. Those are some pretty good wings. But you know what? You know, a lot of people scoffed and they thought like, oh no, you just want to go see some girls or whatever. Like, I'm going to tell you right now, Magic City wings are phenomenal.
You lived in Atlanta for a little while, right?
Lived in Atlanta. And not only that, I had a part-time job. I was working for a record label, delivering vinyl to DJs, right? Of the new songs, right? And back then, the number one influencers were strip club DJs because the strippers liked it, then the guys liked it, and that's how songs broke in Atlanta.
Right.
And so I would go to, I was on the strip club circuit. I had to go to all of them, Magic City, Gentlemen's Club, Nikki, Body Tap, Strokers, like all, Cheetahs, all of them. We used to go all on like one after another, deliver a thing and hang out a little. And I tell you, stopping at Magic City was a favorite stop because I'd always get like a little six-piece of wings, knock them out, and keep on moving.
Well, and the fact that the his name is on the menu makes it even more interesting.
Yeah.
But good God, man. Come on. You had to be that guy. I mean, Doc looked furious when he was being asked those questions the day before yesterday.
Yeah, and that's really beyond like the obvious COVID safety precaution reasons. That's why you don't do it. You don't do it because you just put everybody who should be focused on winning a championship, legitimately trying to win a championship. Now we got to answer for all this. Now we got to deal with all of this. And it's just irresponsible. Like I told someone yesterday that if this were a regular season or even in the playoffs and he went to a family member's funeral and then stopped off at, you know, at Magic and got caught, you know, on the gram, you find him and you move on. He's available for the game that night or the next day or whenever he gets back, as long as he's back in time. The problem here is because now he's got to sit out 10 days, and I do believe he's going to get the brain tickler, the deep nasal swab.
Yep.
So, like, all of that makes it just, this is not ideal for a team, again, that is legitimately competing for a championship. We often talk about everyone in the NBA is competing for a championship. No, you're not. Maybe like five teams are. Everyone else is just trying to get better. And so you're one of those five teams. You can't risk it all for some wings, no matter how good.
I mean, let me ask you about the Lakers. Kyle Kuzma had a big game in the scrimmage the other day.
Before you do that, I just want to – this Jack Harlow Barlow dude, you are trash. Come on, man. You can't do anything without putting it on the ground? You just got to broadcast your entire life. Yeah, a lot of people killed D'Angelo Russell for what he did to Nick Young. This Jack Harlow Barlow dude, he needs to have the same kind of fury hitting him. Go ahead.
Well, he could be a Laker plant.
That's true. No, it's very true.
Would it surprise you?
Let me just say this. Marcellus Wiley would have had more sense. He would have been set on the ground. Look, city, chip city.
Let me ask you about Kuzma. He had a big game in the scrimmage the other day, 25 on 10 of 13 from the field, 5 of 7 from 3. We've had this conversation before. He's just been so all over the place with this roster. But the numbers are wild. For as much as the talk is that he doesn't mix or mesh well with LeBron and AD, his three-point percentage is way better when those two are on the floor for obvious reasons, right? And he 51% of his offense is on catch and shoot, and he's an more efficient player that way. But it feels like he just isn't into the game when he's playing with those guys. Like, what are you seeing from him? What do you think he needs to do better?
I've always thought he plays better with LeBron, even last year. Right, he was the guy that his game fits with LeBron because he's not a ball dominant guy in a way that we know Brandon Ingram is a much better player, but he fits with LeBron better than Brandon Ingram. Brandon Ingram needs the ball in his hand. So, like this whole stuff that he doesn't fit with them is kind of, I think it's just it's frustration because when you are that third person, and look, you know, you saw it in Miami, George, with Chris Bosh. People thought Chris Bosh wasn't doing enough. When in actuality, he was doing exactly what the offense dictates, right? Like, everyone can't be out here looking like an all-star. Someone's got to take a step back. The difference is Chris Bosh was A-plus at all the intangible stuff, on the defensive end, rebounding, switching, all communicating. He was like he was a Hall of Famer, basically, which is what he is, right? And that's the stuff that Kuzma needs to get better at. He needs to be a better defensive player. He needs to be able to guard both bigs and wings. He needs to do all those other little dirty work things because ultimately, offensively, his opportunities are going to be limited pretty much by virtue of who's on the floor.
Amino Hassan hanging out with us here on the Sedano Show. You and I talked about this in the Jump on Friday. Deion Waiters has another good game. Is Waiters Island going to be a thing? Like, I don't know what I'm watching here. Like, I feel like I know it's only scrimmages, but I feel like he has these glimpses, and then you realize, and then he'll have moments where you're like, oh, I get why he's been on four or five teams.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's a talented offensive player. We saw it in Miami, and obviously, you know, we're seeing it now. Look, he's a guy who can create his off the dribble and all that. So he's got talent. He can shoot. But the other thing also, George, is it's been so long we forgot. This was a massive area of need for the Lakers. Like, we forgot the whole, are they going to trade for Derrick Rose? Is Marcus Morris going to be the guy? Because they needed a guy who could go out there and create his own. Go out there and just get buckets. I don't need LeBron to spoon feed me. I don't need AD to send a pick for me. That's the kind of player he is. So part of it is obviously the talent that he brings to the table. But the other part of it is the opportunity. He's got an opportunity to play a style that is conducive to him, albeit in probably a lot shorter minutes than he's experienced, you know, recently in Miami.
I mean, with Zion coming back, the numbers are interesting with that team, particularly defensively. And I don't even believe it has very much to do with Zion's defense. It has much more to do with what he does on offense, where he goes to the free throw line a lot. He goes to the paint a lot. Which allows, you know, and gets buckets, obviously, at a high level and a high clip, which allows his team to get back and set on defense. But where do you think the ceiling is for this team? Like, could they be the team in the play-in with Memphis?
Yes, they absolutely could, because they've got the easiest schedule. That's the thing that's most in their favor. Their schedule is so tissue soft that, you know, it really is a nice runway for them. Obviously, they have some games to make up, but, you know, they're right there as far as being close enough to trigger the play-in. The biggest obstacle at the same time would be the Blazers. The Blazers are complete and whole in a way they haven't been all year long. They're healthy, they're deep, and most importantly, they're experienced. And when you talk about eight pressure-packed games to make good on something, means making as minimal amount of mistakes as possible. In those situations, history tells us that veteran teams tend to do better than young teams. Like when young teams have it in their grasp, all you got to do is not mess up. They tend to mess up, not because they're not talented, but just because the youth and inexperience of the moment. When you look at the Pelicans roster, you got Jrue Holiday, you got J.J. Redick, you got Derek Favors, right? That's all right, but when you talk about the Blazers roster, their best, their absolute best players are all vets. TJ, Dame, Nurkic, right? Where if I name the best players on the Pelicans, I think I would go Ingram, Zion, and then maybe I get to Jrue at that point. That's a huge deal, because when the ball is in the hands of these young players who have to make decisions, they tend to, just historically, they tend to not always make the right decisions. It's just inexperience. And so basically what I'm saying, it's a battle of the ease of the Pelican schedule versus the experience of the Blazers.
There's been a lot of experimentation during these scrimmages. I saw yesterday the Blazers, particularly, playing Nurkic and Whiteside together. Do you think that's Stotts just kind of thinking, maybe I could use that since the Lakers play a traditional center, and maybe I can match up with him with the center and Anthony Davis?
Yeah, I mean, sure. Look, either one of these teams is going to be sacrificial, right? The question is, which one is an easier out for the Lakers, right? I would say the Pelicans are easier.
Right.
Because, again, it goes back to they're just young and dumb, right? That's just a moment like that can be overwhelming for a young team, particularly against the number one seed. Whereas the Blazers, you know, to flip-flop something that Kevin Durant said about them a year ago or 2 years ago, whatever it was, is we were the 3 seed, but you played like an 8 seed. Right now, they're the 8 seed. But they really are like a 4 seed or a 5 seed, something like that. It reminds me of the Knicks from 99,
right?
Who upended the Heat in the first round, and everyone was like, that's not really an 8 seed. They're an 8 seed because they kind of had a wacky start to the season, and it was a shortened season. But we knew that team was way more talented than, let's say, Memphis or New Orleans or Sacramento, which to me, those are true 8 seeds.
I mean, before I let you go, I'm going to spell out a word for you, and I want you to pronounce it for me. A-W-R-Y.
A-Y.
Laura, play what Greg Bergman said just a few minutes ago before Amin was on.
I don't know what it is about these rivalry games, just how it works, but they're going to look back on this at the end of the season. If something goes awry where they don't make it into one of those top couple seeds, which they should, and they're going to say, God, we should have taken those 2 games against San Francisco.
What did you say? Something goes what?
Awry. How do you spell? How do you sound?
Did you mean
A-W-R-Y? Is that is it awry?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I've always said Ari.
I was like, Ari? Like, what are you talking about? I thought he was talking about Ari Gold for a second on Entourage.
Ari Lennox is what I thought. I was like, yeah, I loved her album. She should have gotten a Grammy for it. Yeah, Greg, were you homeschooled? Like, interactive people?
36 years,
That's what happens when you read a lot, but you don't ever use these words in conversation. You might text it, you might email it, but you've never said it out loud.
I mean, maybe a little bit, but I've also, for 36 years, I've used that word. Nobody's ever corrected me, and I don't know why, because it's so wrong, obviously. Whew. I'm taking the L. I will absolutely take the L.
Good Lord. So,
you guys are all jerks.
Man, you need to like holler at the closest people, you know, loved ones and best friends and all that, and say, what other lies have you been holding from me? I don't know if you guys laugh behind my back.
All right, Amin, thanks for hanging out, man. Appreciate it.
All right, guys, take it easy.
See ya. All right, that's Amin Alhassan. All right, coming up next, what you need to know, including some good news, potentially, for the Dodgers' chances to win a World Series. We'll get to that coming up in 2 minutes.